Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. As Jim Nabors used to say, as Gomer Pyle, here we are at noontime recording the show, Eastern USA time. And let me explain something to you. The reason why we're doing this is because Wayne Escoffery, who is coming to our region in the next several days, actually, he said, "Oh, Trish, I blew it. I am supposed to be at a meeting for my son, and this 1 o'clock time that we had is going to interfere. Could we do it at noon?" I said, "Sure, Wayne. Let me see what I can do." And I juggled little blog, talk, radio programming, and fit it in. So this morning he said, "Oh, man, I got to tell you something. It's not going to work. Could we possibly do this at 2:15? Thank God that we could, because after a certain time, you can't change the programming. So, whew. Anything for Wayne, one of the most amazing and charismatic artists that you will hear. It's kind of stunning that he's on the show, and you'll hear why. We're going to start things off a little bit differently. I want to play this song so badly because it feels right. Chuck Loeb and Andy Snitzer and Stompin' from Silhouette from Chuck Loeb on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
have to be beautiful to turn me on. I just need your body, baby, from dusk till dawn. You don't need experience to turn me out. You just leave it all up to me. I'm gonna show you what it's all about. You don't have to be my girl, don't have to be through my world. Ain't no particular sign I'm all compatible with. Just want your extra time and yours. Just want your kiss. All right. You got to not talk dirty, baby, if you wanna impress me. You can't be too flirty, mama. I know how to undress me. I wanna be your fantasy. Maybe you could be mine. Y'all kiss. Here we go, darling.
I first heard it. Woo! And look, here's the test. When I can play a song for my son and his head whips around, that's how we can always be assured that things are very cool with melody and with everything else about the song, because he just doesn't get turned around too easily. That, my friends, is a song called Kiss, which you're familiar with. I'm sure the Prince version, but this is Swinging in Tongues. Yes! From the CD called Tongue Jazz. Oh, I'm so going to enjoy saying that. And it's so wild because I didn't know. Look, when you're living in the Baltimore, D.C. area, I guess people assume that you know everything about what's going on, musically speaking, because you're hosting this online radio show. Not the case. So Todd Googins, who is married to the lovely Carla Chisholm, who was here the other day, he had written to me to say that he had this musical project. Now, he sent me these songs, and I thought, wow, wow, where did this come from? Apparently, Tongue Jazz has been out for just a little bit, and I was not aware that Todd was a part of this triumvirate of sound, of fine tunage. So who you are hearing is Todd, who gives way to these sparkling vocals, and you might have heard the song with he and Carla the other day. It was just wonderful, from the same CD, by the way. Also, Jameson Toby is on drums on this, and Wayne Willens, who I've heard about for a while on piano and vocals. And honest to gosh, this is coming from the truth of my soul now. Just bear with me. When I first heard the CD, and especially this song, I thought, wow, that's so interesting that Todd found a hookup with an elderly black man singing these vocals. I did not know what Wayne Willens looked like. So imagine my surprise when I see this bespectacled white fella behind the keyboard on the video that they have at tonguejazz.com. It's a hoot, I'm telling you. And some of these songs take on different flavor, but they wanted to get across this vibe of voice and drums and keys. And if you are in the area or can make it into the area on Sunday, they're going to be at Georgia Brown's in D.C. on November 17th. Good job, Todd. I love it. Woo! And Chuck Loeb we heard from. Silhouette. 8 original songs. Man, they are smoking, too. Stompin' is the name of the track that you heard with Andy Snitzer on the saxophone, and Andy's going to be with Paul Simon on tour in 2014. Mm-hmm. And Chuck's going to be with Will Lee's family band on the 4th of December. Will Lee is on the CD, and Chuck is going to be with 4Play at the Blue Note, the 10th through the 15th of December. So Chuck will be able to quite credibly play his beautiful song, An Ode to December, from the 4Play CD. Whew. And just create magic as we wind into the holiday season. Very good news, all. Mm-hmm. You are wonderful, Todd. Todd's in the chat room. Oh, and listen, just so you know, Todd, you are going to have to get Jameson and Wayne so you can all be on the show. I know that's what you wanted to do, because all three of you need to give your input about how this was done, this creative effort. Just love it. Whoa, and speaking of which, if you have not heard the music of Wayne Escoffery, prepare yourself. Wayne was supposed to be on the show in this hour, but I really wanted to accommodate him, and especially because he's got a little one, and his boy has a meeting with a teacher, and Daddy had to be there. Oh! So, of course, we would go through great pains to make sure that Wayne could do this in a relaxed mode. So he'll be here 2:15 Eastern Time. It's not going to make any sense if you're hearing this in the archive, but for folks who are listening live, that's the story. So hopefully there will be no more changes to those plans. Let's get into something classic, shall we? Back in 1960, Kelly at Midnight, Wynton Kelly, I'm talking about, who was not alone, with Paul Chambers on bass and Philly Joe Jones on drums. This is called Temperance on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz.
That makes the lonely winter seem long. You are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. You are the angel glow that lights the stars. The dearest things I know are what you are. Some days my happy arms will hold you, and some days I'll know that moment divine. And all the things you are
that voice, it just seems like Christmas is near. You know what I mean? What is it about some voices that make you feel that way? Ella Fitzgerald, no doubt, from the Jerome Kern songbook back in 1963. Nelson Riddle orchestrating, arranging. It's not the first time that Ella had worked with Nelson, but it's just so phenomenal to contemplate now. I was thinking about this morning, just realizing that this was the seventh of Ella's great Broadway composer projects. Cole Porter she had done, Irving Berlin, the Gershwins. So phenomenal that we have this body of work by Ella. And that song, whoa, when you listen to the lyrical content of that song, it just takes your breath away. And I'm not alone. Tony Bennett has said publicly that this is his favorite song of all time. So when you understand that these gifts that composers had given to us at a certain period of time in American history have stood the test of time, and now you heard, hopefully, Joanna Pascal, who you'll hear a little bit later on in the show, she had said when she was on Hybrid Jazz that it's such an honor to be able to sing these songs and to have the frame of mind where you sing it in the way that the composer intended it to be sung. they were just coming from the depths of their soul, all about love and courtship and longing and anticipation. Ah, there's nothing like it, nothing like hearing these amazing legends, these icons of music that were birthed from the United States and have affected so many people all around the globe. Just beautiful. And Ella was absolutely in her prime when she was doing these songs. So, woo, it's just that much more perfection that's recorded. I love it. Wynton Kelly, we heard. He started the set. And actually, I should tell you, yeah, let's tell you about this. Terry Lynn Carrington was in the middle of this. And before we go any further and tell you about Wynton Kelly, let us give you a heads up. Not that anybody is really going to do anything about it at this particular juncture, but Terry Lynn Carrington is with Jerry Allen and Esperanza Spalding right now. She is at the Vol Dom Festival Internacional de Jazz de Barcelona. And they are just about to take the stage now if they're not on the stage at this present time. And that triumvirate, second time I said that word today, that trio is called ACS, Allen, Carrington, Spalding. They are really doing some work together these days. And it just seems to be a good fit because Esperanza's in her 20s. Terry Lynn is 48, I think, in her 40s, and then Jerry Allen is getting close to 60. So we've got these three different kinds of generations making music and having the same mind. It's a beautiful thing to see them. Oh, my gosh. And what you heard from Terry Lynn Carrington and company, we keep going back to the Mosaic Project because it's just so, I'll say it, anointed. All of these females getting together with this consummate drummer who goaded them, persuaded them that they could do it. One case in point is Gretchen Parlato. Terry Lynn probably was a broken record, but she was a woman with a whip, cracking down and making sure that everybody knew what they were capable of doing on Mosaic Project, out a couple of years now. Insomniac was the tune that we heard. Woo! Now Wynton Kelly. Back to 1960, Paul Chambers and Philly Joe Jones, Temperance from Kelly at Midnight. Just a little background on Wynton Kelly, and there's so much to say. A Miles Davis alum, 1959 to 1962, but he also played with Dizzy and Dinah Washington and Lester Young. He was on Kind of Blue for Miles, and he also did a little stint that you might remember from Giant Steps. He was doing the keyboard work on Naima, one of the great songs of all time. Wynton Kelly is, I don't know, this is just my opinion, but I think other people share it, one of those unsung heroes. He had a certain way of playing, and there was a lot going on in his life personally. He had epilepsy, and that's what finally claimed him in 1971. So he was driven to play. When you're driven to play, every note counts. You can feel it. So if you get a chance, maybe this weekend, go back and get a hold of maybe this album, because this also has a Potluck, which is another one of those very cool tracks. And anytime you can get in a little assembly like this, Paul Chambers and Philly Joe Jones and Wynton Kelly, you got to go for it. So do that, and we'll play something else because we're doing our thing now, a little bit of a program change. 2:15 now is the time that Wayne Escoffery is going to join us and tell us about his fabulous career. And I don't know how deeply we'll dwell into some things, but when you hear some tracks that Wayne does with the magic of that saxophone, he's digging back in time to when he and his mom were in London. They made the trip across the water several years ago when Wayne was a little guy, and they did so for a very specific reason. So we'll get into a track that is from his latest CD and also something from Tom Harrell. There's been a long-time association with Wayne and Tom through the years, so you'll hear that. Kevin Jackson, he was just here the other day. I have to play another song because this is all about our neighborhood. Baltimore Groove, Stepper Step, from Stories in Color on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
When you appear in my imagination, I had no idea that you'd ever be real. Now you're my life, not just some fascination. And I love you. That you're real, not my imagination, but someone to love, and I do love you, dear. Long before love, you were here in my memory.
Oh, just let me drink that in. That's Bill Withers. Yes, it is. And I've been in this Bill Withers mode, and maybe you get into that kind of mode with certain kind of artists, especially if they have been in your lives for so long as he has. Now, check this out. This just happened this morning, because when you go to Bill Withers' website, there's a whole lot of information, which is great. But when you go to Facebook sometimes with artists, there's a discrepancy. Sometimes the artists are more in tune with giving you what's up on Facebook as opposed to their websites. And it would be an ideal world if it could be both. But that being the case, Bill Withers, after all, is 75, and he's got a lot of other things that he's tending to. So this morning, I saw a recent notation, and you always have to check with Facebook, because it will say a date, but then you find out that they meant last year. But this was recently, in the past few days. Matter of fact, November the 8th, I think that was the date that I saw, Bill Withers gathered where there was going to be a statue presented to Bill Russell, actually the 1st of November. And this is in Boston. And Bill Withers, at his Facebook page, was talking about Bill Russell and their friendship. And Bill happened to mention, the powers that be wanted Bill Withers to sing on behalf of Bill Russell. And Bill Withers said, you know what, this particular affliction that I have has made me feel as though, or has rendered me incapable of singing. I haven't sung for a while, but I have somebody in the midst here who is going to sing a song that I wrote for my friend, Bill Russell. And apparently, the other Bill had said to Withers, look, I have somebody who can sing. We're high school buddies, and I hope you don't mind if he sings your song on this day. And Bill said, oh, great. Who is it? Johnny Mathis. There is, on Bill Withers' page, Johnny Mathis singing this song called I Am My Father's Song, which is wild because this is going to tie into Wayne Escoffery, who's coming up next hour. It's just beautiful, and it's very moving, and if you have a chance, you can get to see another side of this wonderful, astute composer and singer and businessman from Slab Fork, West Virginia. What you just heard was My Imagination from Naked and Warm from 1976, Bill Withers' fifth album. Just so beautiful. Brian Bromberg, Rory Lowry, Private Eye, from Compared to That from last year. 53 next month, and doing his thing. Mack Avenue is real happy that they have him. Mitch Foreman was happy that he got the work on that track on piano, and Gary Meek on tenor sax. Brian Bromberg's got his own thing going on as far as an outlet for bass players. You can go to brianbromberg.net and find out all about that. And we heard Kevin Jackson, Baltimore Groove. Wasn't that nice? From Stories in Color. And don't forget, you can find out at musicbykevinjackson.com this big deal happening on November 22nd. It's going to be at the Creative Alliance in the city of Baltimore. The whole gist of this is going to be that anybody who wants to bring canned items for the Be Gaddy Thanksgiving Feast. And this feast is for folks who really cannot, for varying reasons, have Thanksgiving. Homeless people, people who are turned over in varying agencies to all the staffers with Be Gaddy, who's no longer with us, but the foundation goes on. It's a beautiful endeavor, and this particular season, more than ever, we need those canned goods or non-perishable items. So if you want to find out the information, I think it's creativealliance.org, but definitely musicbykevinjackson.com. You'll find out all about it. Hope to see you there. Let's see. Yeah. How about this? We're going to change up a little bit here. Want to get involved with a female artist. I love to make sure that worthy females are always presented to you in the beautiful light that they shine. Regina Carter. This endeavor was so wonderful when she decided to take a journey to Africa and got involved with African folk melodies and heard the kora and then heard the accordion, the mix of those two, and thought, wouldn't it be cool to just get my violin and be a part of this and mix it up with Afro pop and jazz? It's wonderful. One of those great tracks from Reverse Thread from a couple of years ago, Daydreaming on the Niger on Hyper Jazz.
Thank you.
have any idea what I'm going to say? Now, the only problem with that song is you fill in the blank. It's too short, 3 minutes 45 seconds. My Italian goddess with her green patent leather shoes, Joanna Pascal from Philly. Lord, can that woman wind a tune into the very depths of your soul? What a wonderful idea to pair Joanna Pascal with Jeremy Pelt, who just celebrated his birthday. Happy birthday, Jeremy. I love this CD so much. Soul. That's all it's called. That's all you need to know. Jeremy Pelt is one of these trumpet and flugelhorn players that just, when you say his name in many circles, people go, ooh. He's just a youngin', but man, has he been around, worked with Cassandra Wilson and Ravi Coltrane, Roy Hargrove, Cedar Walton, who's coming up momentarily. Wow. And, matter of fact, the reason why he seems such a natural play for the program today is because Jeremy is going to be with Wayne Scoffery at Blues Alley coming up very soon. If you get a chance to see these two young artists, and I say that because, gosh, I don't want to sound like an old fogey, because that's what old fogies say. Oh, these young whippersnappers, they're pretty good, even though they're young. I don't mean to say it like that, but it's just that they have amassed so much experience in their young lives. It's just breathtaking, and they love jazz so much. Oh, God, I'm so appreciative of that. So we'll talk about that with Wayne when he's here, gosh, less than an hour from now. But you need to know that besides the name of the CD, Soul, Moondrift was the name of the song, and Joanna Pascal, let's go back to her, she is going to be part of the Tim Warfield's Jazzy Christmas. There's a few dates. The big one is at the Strand in York, Pennsylvania. If you could know some of the players who will be there, I'll just mention a few. Stefan Harris and Cyrus Chestnut. Tim Warfield surrounds himself with the most awesome artistry, and there's just this connection with Joanna being there as vocalist. Oh, had a chance to see this sweet kind of holiday vibe last year at Jazzway, and I'll never forget it. So that's going to be, I think, on the 21st of December, which would be just perfect. If you do get a chance, go to joannapascal.com and find out more. Nate Najjar Trio. Yes. Chuck Redd, Tommy Cecil, Nate on his nylon string from Blues for Night People. The Nate Najjar Trio, Remember Charlie Bird. Charlie Bird, one of the vital instruments in turning the United States onto Brazilian music. Charlie Bird was instrumental in doing that. Someone to Light Up My Life. Charlie did that song so many times. It's a Joe Beam song. And when Nate and his crew start to get into that vibe, woo, it's a rush. You might be able to check them out. They're on tour. Different sorts of folks with Nate. He's going to be at Andy Music, or Music if you prefer, on the 22nd, and then O'Callaghan's in Annapolis on the 23rd, but there are lots more dates. Matter of fact, Nate and the crew are in the UK right now, Pizza Express. I really want to go to that place someday. Oh, that'd be so much fun. Pizza Express. There they are right now. Guitarist, composer, producer, Nate Najjar. He's been on the show. A lot of people have at this point. So nice. Regina Carter on violin, Daydreaming on the Niger from Reverse Thread. With the kora, which is a West African harp, and the accordion, and that amalgam of different kinds of vibes that Regina is passionate about. She has had reverse thread assemblies in different places where she's toured in the past couple of years. She's still doing it, although it's taking on a different flavor. Now, this is so awesome because she will be doing a series of dates featuring Southern Comfort, which is the new reverse thread. Now, replacing the cora will be a slide guitar so she can honor her daddy's Alabama roots. That's so exciting. She's so creative. I just love to see the kinds of work that she's doing. ReginaCarter.com has more information. As mentioned, Wayne Escoffery. We were going to do this at 1 o'clock, and then we changed it to noon, and now we're doing it at 2:15, which is next hour. So, again, this won't make any sense to you if you're listening to it in the archives, but it's fun to go along live so you can get the feel of the moment. We mentioned Cedar Walton because Jeremy Pelt had worked with Cedar at one point, and I know that Jeremy, along with so many, miss him so much. We just lost him just a few days after we lost George Duke, actually, in August the 19th, 2013, the passing of Cedar Walton at the age of 79. Amazing pianist. Dallas-born. Mom was a woman who loved the piano. She wanted to be a concert pianist, and she was his first teacher. And he showed promise early. He was encouraged to turn his gift into something that would propel him into music education. And he listened to that, and it really did him some good as he got involved with Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers. Let's listen to something that Cedar did in his prolific career as a leader, although he said he preferred to be an accompanist. This is from 1980, and Soundscapes, the name of the project. Rubens Bassini on percussion. Woo! This is 6th Avenue from Cedar Walton on Hybrid Jazz. We'll be right back. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Love's got me high. Please tell me, yeah. And don't say no, honey. Not tonight. I need to have you next to me. And more.
Song originally by Major Harris that has enabled many children to be born over the past many years. You know that's true. Love won't let me wait. And when we all first heard Nancy Wilson do this song back in the 90s, woo! When a woman does this song, it is a whole new kind of vibe, new feel. Like empowerment, I don't know what it is, but from Nancy Wilson, 1994, Love Nancy is the name of the CD, and I don't know what is happening with Nancy Wilson these days, and I wish we did know. The last time I heard her longtime manager had passed away, and soon after, her website was hacked. And then there was a huge push for the Kennedy Center to honor Miss Nancy, as far as those Kennedy Center honors are concerned. Now, it's not going to be the case this year, but hopefully we're going to try for next year, because we really would like to see her life and her work, her music, and her integrity just shine, so people, a whole new generation, can hear what Nancy Wilson was all about. Little girl from Chillicothe, Ohio. Major. And hats off to Vinnie Barrett, because if it wasn't for Miss Vinnie, you wouldn't have had a song like that or many others. Vinnie Barrett is a source of pride in Maryland, because she lives in our state and has written so many wonderful songs. I cannot even tell you, but she had an award winner there, my friend. Woo! In more ways than one. Yeah! 5,000 plus children can attest to that. We also heard Cindy Bradley from Unscripted. Can't wait for the next CD from Cindy. I don't know what she's got planned in that regard, but Cindy, we really love to hear that trumpet. Oh, man, there's been a few trumpets that we've heard today. That was her take on Wayne Shorter's Footprints. I love that. Love this, too. Cindy, first of all, was on the BET show Black Girls Rock. I'll let that sink in. Was certainly in a beautiful company, that's for sure. And she has some stories. Yes, she does. And hopefully we'll be hearing them soon. But she is on tap to be part of this Dinah Shore weekend, April 2014. She is going to be at the Palm Springs Women's Jazz Festival in conjunction with the Women's Golf Tour that is huge in that part of the world. So that's something that's new territory. I don't think there has been a Palm Springs Women's Jazz Festival before this, and Cindy certainly has not been a part of that association, but man, that's smoking. We'll give you more as we get it, and I'm sure we're going to get it soon because she's got an active little Facebook page. We heard, too, Cedar Walton from 1980, Sixth Avenue from Soundscapes, just beautiful. Born in Dallas and made the move in 1955 to New York City. And the manager at Birdland at that time took an interest in Cedar and made sure that his particular talent was well-versed in the folks around town who were always looking for some upstart from the South, especially, to see if they could play. And in the 60s, was with Art Blakey and was actually starting on the same day as Freddie Hubbard, who took his hand, by the way, in that Soundscapes CD. I'm glad to know that they remained buddies. Man, in the company of Freddie Hubbard and Art Blakey and Wayne Shorter, just so nice. Leon Thomas, also a part of that Soundscapes project back in the early part of the decade of 1980. Just beautiful to be able to hear all of this work. If you go back and see the kind of leadership that Cedar Walton displayed in his discography, it's just startling, because he's one of those, so hard to say, was one of those low-key gentlemen who any time that he added his mark on a project, it was just that much better. He was amazing and well-faceted, not just on the keyboard, but also in knowing how to arrange and in knowing how to hear what other instruments were able to do around the piano. Just an amazing individual. We're going to miss him, and we'll be looking back at so many of the beautiful souls that we lost in 2013. I'm not going to be over George Duke for a long time, and hopefully there will be some good things involved in 2014 that will be in honor of George. I certainly hope so. We have about 20 minutes to go before we hear from Wayne Escoffery, getting out of his meeting soon. A little PTA meeting, not one of them, but a parent-teacher conference. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I love it. We have a couple of real sweet songs back-to-back. Two of them, you would have absolutely no trouble associating one to another, because one is actually from a CD called Dear Miles. Ron Carter is going to kick things off for us. And let's see, we do this? See if I can do this with one hand. I always try. Hold on. I always try to do this. Okay, there we go. No problem. Ron Carter, who we had on the show a few months ago, back in 2007, did this project and wanted to pay homage, if you will, to his boss. Ron was part of the second great Miles quintet. So he wanted to do something special. And then we'll hear from Miles Davis from 1957. And then, this is where it's interesting, we're going to hear from Darryl F. Walker with East Bay Soul, which I thought would be cool if we did this all together. We love these threesomes. Wait a minute. We like to put these songs together in threes. Woo! Okay. First, Ron Carter and Seven Steps to Heaven on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
is Hybrid Jazz.
Mother, mother, there are too many of you crying. Brother, 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 far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. No, no. Not the answer, only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some understanding here today. Picket lines, picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Come talk to me. So you can see, ooh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on? Hey, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Ooh, 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 ooh. Nothing, 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 nothing.
Tell me, honey, what's going on? Woo! Darryl F. Walker right there, making a name for himself as if he didn't already. He really has. He's been around for a while and has done such amazing things with East Bay Soul. I know that Greg Adams is absolutely thrilled to have him as part of that beautiful group of musicians that absolutely kill it no matter where they go. But Daryl is making a name for himself doing his own thing, and proof is in the pudding because he just got personally invited back to 98 Bottles in San Diego for a January gig. He really did well when he did his thing just a few weeks ago, and things are looking up. 2014 is going to be a real nice open-door year for Daryl. And nobody deserves it more. Just a wonderful guy, and we love him in the chat room, that's for sure. Griselda is at work today. Normally she's with us, but Beej is here, and that's her buddy, Daryl F. Walker. Yes, what's going on? Normally we wouldn't condone the redoing of a Marvin Gaye song, but it's okay because it's Daryl. DarylFWalker.com has information on where you can buy his solo CD or his CD as leader, shall we say, and information on where you can get a hold of those East Bay Soul tunes, that from East Bay Soul 2.0. We heard Miles Davis' short story about what you heard round midnight from Round About Midnight, his debut on Columbia. Miles was at the Newport Jazz Festival in 1955, doing well. That is a statement pregnant with possibilities. He performed with Thelonious Monk, who wrote the song, Percy Heath of the Modern Jazz Quartet, Zoot Sims and Jerry Mulligan were there. From this performance, someone pivotal in the audience said, we need to sign him to Columbia. And this enabled Miles to form his first great quintet. John Coltrane, Philly Joe Jones, Red Garland, and Paul Chambers. The rest, ladies and gentlemen, is history. Round Midnight is what we heard, and we heard too from Ron Carter, Seven Steps to Heaven, from Dear Miles. And Ron, by the way, is going to be at Bohemian Caverns in D.C. tomorrow through Sunday. If you get a chance to see one of the great bassists of our time, please go. One of the great tenor saxophonists of our time. He does more, but he focuses on that, is Wayne Escoffery. This is Color Spectrum from The Only Son of One on Hybrid Jazz. Wayne's next. Thank you. Oof. You know, when you don't have the kind of time constraints and you can actually enjoy the songs sometimes that you hear on the show, they just do such a number on your psyche. They completely change your, well, the great ones can change your mood. We're going to talk to Wayne Escoffery, hopefully. We're going to make that call right now. Now, you know how it has been. You know how it has been with making the calls, right? So we're going to do it because that's what Wayne wants. And by golly, what Wayne Escoffery wants, Wayne gets. Here we go. Let's see. We did enter a valid phone number. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Here we go. You see, it starts with me again. No, okay. This is something that I may not ever get used to. Let's see, valid phone number. You can't do the one? Dialing. There it goes. It's dialed. Yay! We'll see about yay. He knows he's going to answer live.
Trish in the house.
There he is! Yay!
What's up? How you doing?
What is up with you? I am doing great. Look at you. You're all ready to go. How was your meeting?
It was fabulous. Everything is in order.
Yes. Oh, everything. I love to hear that. I love to hear it. Wayne, you know what? Besides being a radio host that's done this since 1976, God, I'm old, I have to tell you that there's been just a couple of times that I can count where I feel, ooh, that butterfly thing in my stomach because I am so respectful of your career. I really love your work.
Thank you. It's much appreciated. You know, it's always good to hear.
Oh my gosh. You, in a relatively short life, you have done quite a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm trying to climb, you know, climbing the walls. I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to make as much music as I can with as many people as I can, you know. And as you know, a lot of the greats are leaving us, so I'm just, you know.
I know.
Trying to do what I can to make some music with all of them, you know.
I just was talking about, I played a track from Cedar Walton a little while ago, and 2013 has been crazy for us losing folks. You know, it's not like we're promised forever, that's for sure, but it's just so hard when it's unexpected because we thought people were going to last a little while longer, you know?
Of course, yeah. But, you know, as they say, you know, seize the day, and that's what I try to do and try to be open and meet as many people as I can and, like I said, make good music. So.
Well, you know, here's not necessarily a question for you. You're an amazing saxophonist, someone who's got this rare gift, and here's why, a composer as well, and beautiful compositions. Here's one of those things that I've noticed about you. This is not the first time you've heard it, but where do you suspect, is this a rhetorical question, all of this warmth, this warmth comes from you? And it didn't necessarily have to come from you. It is, as you just said, your desire to make music. But where do you suspect the desire to make the kind of music that melts in people's ears comes from? Is there a hunger in you? Is that what you would call it?
Well, I really appreciate the sentiments. I mean, to be honest, I feel like, well, that's just it. I mean, I think I'm just I'm honest. You know, I'm basically the kind of musician that I am, the man, or you know, I try to be. And you know, really, despite how much you know, musical education I might have and technical abilities and stuff like that, when it comes down to it, when I'm playing music, I'm just trying to be honest. And the other thing is, I'm a very, you know, people that know me personally, you know, I'm a very emotional person. You know, I have strong, we all have strong feelings about things, but I'm definitely not the best at hiding my emotions. And, you know, I get, some days I'm just down and I can't hide it. And some days I'm upset. And some days I feel great, you know, and I feel that I do the same when I play music. I mean, I play from my heart and I'm honest. And even if I'm making mistakes or, you know, I'm trying to reach for something and it's not quite being executed the way I wanted to. It's honest. I'm not afraid of just being myself and just trying to do whatever I'm trying to do. And most of the time when people hear me and they give me compliments, it's rarely, I mean, I do get that too. Like, oh, you have so much technique. Oh, you can do this, you can do that. But it's never really, that's not really why your average listener, your lay person is appreciates what I do. Usually they say things that, like, you know, they really feel my music or they just love the emotion that I bring and I'm going to stick to that because it seems to be working.
It sure is, and I can't help but think, we just played a Color Spectrum, which is one of those songs that really speaks to me, and I'm not sure why I can articulate why, and that's the best thing about music, when you hear a particular instrumental song, and there are no words, and you're creating the scenario in your head, which is very personal for each individual who hears a song. The Only Son of One, this has to be the penultimate for you because you really did expose a lot of feelings in this. My gosh, you must have gotten tickled when you read the review at one of the particular websites. I don't remember a time when a reviewer was actually almost tearful in writing a positive review about an artist and his work. But it was All About Jazz or one of those sites. And you have a way of being able to convey some real tough kinds of feelings in the most manly of ways because you get the feeling out, but you are never maudlin. You are never giving too much. You just give the taste of what it is in your heart or in your soul. This must have been something else for you to do. Was it tough for you to make this project or not? Just easy?
Well, as far as the music goes, as far as the writing of the music, I mean, it's never just easy, but I mean, you know, the music did just come out, and usually I only write when I'm inspired to write. I mean, I never force myself to sit down and write something, or at least I rarely do.
That's obvious.
So in that way, the music kind of was easy to write. But as far as really allowing myself to really articulate what each piece was about. And share that with you, the listener, that definitely was a hard thing to do. And I think it's something that I needed to do. And that's why I did it. I mean, each story is about, kind of a different part of a challenging part of my childhood. And that's not always easy to talk about. And it's one thing to sit in a room with someone you care about and to talk about it, or even with a therapist or whatever. But to have it written down and for everyone to see for the rest of our lives is another thing. So, but I think I needed to do it. And again, it's just like I said before. I'm an honest person. I'm an emotional person, and I like to express how I feel. So it didn't really. It makes sense that I would express these feelings and kind of retell these stories through music, and so I just did. And one of the things I definitely didn't really feel comfortable doing is writing about it myself. I mean I definitely, and that's why I called upon the talents of my friend James McBride, the author, we talked about it, and I kind of wrote down some things, and one of the first things he said, he was like, man, you wrote it so well, because I wrote him, in an email, just telling him what each tune was about. He's like, man, you wrote it so well, why don't you just write the liner notes? I'll admit that part of it I was apprehensive about, and I was like, I'd rather come from someone I trust and someone a little bit more eloquent, a Tory storyteller than me, and so he agreed to do that.
That's a beautiful thing, and honestly, Wayne, I've never said this to any artist before, but the power of the music in this particular project, anyway, because I know it's so personal, when it comes from you, and you strike me as such a balanced kind of guy, you've got so many wonderful things happening in your life that you have now the ability to be able to talk about things that were difficult years ago. So when you have both of that going on, you're able to reflect upon what was challenging, and then you have the glory of your life as it's unfolding now. You are able to touch so many people that it's going to be mind-blowing. I mean, this is relatively new. This isn't old of a work. It's just been in the past several months. So I can just imagine how 2014 is going to unfold. You're going to have people walking up to you saying, "Thank you, Wayne, because if it wasn't for this music, I don't think that I would have gotten through." You're getting that already, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of that, and I definitely appreciate it. What can I say? We just all I can do is be honest and tell my story the best I can. I just finished a sequel to The Only Son of One, and it's going to be coming out in March on the same label.
I'm
looking forward to that. It's kind of the same band. Actually, Rachel Z is playing instead of Adam Holzman and Rashawn Carter, who was a bass player with Wallace Roney for quite some time. He's playing instead of Hans. But it's basically the same sound and a couple of more tunes. It's a live recording that we did in New Haven, Connecticut. So I'm looking forward to that coming out soon, too.
And that's funny because Rashawn, I think, is going to be with you in Baltimore at Andy Music, right?
Exactly, yeah. He'll be there with me
And Rachel Z will be with you there and also at Blues Alley, because this is coming up soon.
Exactly, yeah. So I think it's on the 26th, we're at Andy Music. And actually, Xavier Davis was supposed to play piano, you know, because it's a two-keyboard group. So Rachel Z is playing synthesizers and, you know, keys. It's supposed to be Xavier Davis, but he can't make it. So we're having a great pianist, Dave Berkman, come in and play. So it's going to be those two keyboards, David Berkman on piano with Rachel Z, and Jason Brown on drums, Rashawn Carter on bass, and myself. And actually, at Andy Music, it's just going to be quintet in D.C. At Blues Alley. It's going to be with Jeremy Pelt as a guest, so that'd be great.
Woo! I know folks are starting to buzz already because it seems the holiday season is coming upon us quickly, and that's the perfect time for you to come to D.C. because that's the week of Thanksgiving.
I hope so. I was a little concerned because I was like, it's the day before, and I was like, I don't know if people are going to come out, but you know, I'm going to do all I can and tell folks, and hopefully they'll want something to do that day before Thanksgiving, knowing that they don't have to go to work. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You kidding? Because that's when all the kin come to town, because they figure, all right, if I'm going to visit relatives in Washington, where are we going to go the night before Thanksgiving? And there you are.
Good. That's what I'm hoping. That's exactly what I'm hoping.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when is it? When was the pivotal time for you? You made the trek with Mom. You moved to Connecticut. You made a move to New York City in 2000. And then, gosh, you're at this New Haven Trinity Boys Choir. You're performing with them at the age of 11. When was a time for you when you thought to yourself, you know what, I need to be focusing on music and music only for the rest of my life? Was there a time like that, or just was it organic?
Well, you know, it's funny because I mean, I didn't grow up with my father. He was kind of an amateur kind of reggae guitarist. So I mean, you know, we left him when I was about 6 years old. But even from that time, I always knew I wanted to be a musician. I just thought I was going to be a singer. You know, I was obsessed with Michael Jackson and, you know, and then later on New Edition. So I really thought I was going to be the next, you know, Michael Jackson. At least that's what I was hoping. And I always really felt in my heart that I was a musician, even though it wasn't really, even though, like I said, I didn't grow up with any musicians in my immediate family, so to speak, day to day. And then I joined that boys choir, and I didn't really, I still, at the time I was in the choir, I had just started the saxophone. And so we were touring professionally. I mean, I was a musician, but I still didn't know in exactly what capacity I was going to, you know, pursue it. And then really, once I was about 16 or something like that, I really, I don't know, I felt that was kind of outgrowing the choir a bit. It wasn't as cool to be a boy in a boys' choir, which is extremely important when you're 16 years old.
Oh, sure.
And the great thing about New Haven, and it goes in waves, and I think that wave is on a high point now, is that, there's always been a great thriving jazz scene, jazz community in New Haven. So I was, and my mom took me around to see a lot of great concerts and things. So I was really, the jazz buzz was just, was just there, and there were a lot of great artists coming into town and little clubs with jam sessions and stuff. And I really just started falling in love with the saxophone. And so around the age 16 is when I was like, you know what, let me stop this singing and really start practicing more and getting into the saxophone.
Well, obviously, you had something going on for you, because if anybody can boast in their lifetime of having one full scholarship, that's one thing, but you can boast of two. That's a pretty big deal. So young, folks were noticing something in you, and that's why you've had all these tremendous opportunities. You've been early on with some heavyweights, and now you're a heavyweight. So how do you feel about that? I don't even know how old you are. I know that you're a younger man. But
I'm 38.
You're 38. This mm-hmm. is pretty heady stuff. I don't even know if you understand how much of a catbird seat you're in, but you are. By the way.
No, I mean, I appreciate it. And I thank every time I get to, do things like play with Tom Harrell and play with Dominguez Band and play with, a lot of these, Al Foster or whoever it is, I really feel blessed. And there isn't a day that goes by where I don't realize how lucky I am. And also, I have a certain level of pride in myself too, that I've come this far, but you can't let those things get to your head, because there are a lot of great musicians in the world and in New York City. And we each have our own story to tell. And what I'm trying to do is just be able to tell it in a more clear and clear way every time, so.
Well, and you do. There's been a series of projects. First was what? 2001, Times Change, right? 2001?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds right, yeah.
Normally, I would ask someone who was a guest, what do you foresee happening as the next step, or what, since we're getting close to the end of the year, what do you see 2014 bringing you? But you're so different, because you're a family guy, and you have this career whereby you can be at home, you're in New York, and you can sort of come and go as you please. But what is it that you would like to see transpire, or is it more of same? Because really, this is almost an ideal set of circumstances, isn't it, for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm having a great time. The one thing that I'm really looking forward to and focusing on now is, when you're like I say, I'm blessed that I've been able to play with all of these great musicians, and that I continue to do so. And I look forward to doing more of that in 2014. I mean, Tom is a great project with Esperanza Spalding, and we'll be doing some touring. But one of the things that I'm really, really, really trying to focus on is really trying to do more touring and traveling with my own group. And that's why I'm really excited that we're going to be at Andy Music and also at DC, at Blues Alley. And I have kind of a CD release tour coming up in January. Actually, my band's going to Europe, and we're doing some dates in London and in Italy. And
great.
I mean, it's interesting, because the real challenging thing is that when people know you as a sideman, I mean, everyone expects me to be playing with Tom Harrell, and expects I'm going to be out with the Mingus Band, and it's really difficult, partially because of the way the industry is changing. It's difficult to make that transition from sideman to a leader, where people trust that you're going to pack the house and put on a good show. And so what I'm really focusing on now with my new I have a new manager, and I'm just really trying to focus on just trying to play with my own band, and trying to let people know that just try to expose people to my music, and let people know that when they come to my show, that they're gonna, people are gonna come out, and they're gonna enjoy what they hear. I mean, I'm confident in that. People that hear the music are always go away loving it. So it's just a matter of spreading the word and getting to the point where I can really travel more with my group and as a leader. So it's already starting to happen. But, well, you know, like you asked, I'm looking forward to really making that happen more so in 2014.
Well, it's interesting, Wayne, honestly, because you seem to be really comfortable and are relishing that role. There are people who are thrust in that spotlight of being a side person, and then they realize, ooh, geez, you know what? I like being in the back here. I just talked to my friend Kevin Jackson, who is one of these guys in Baltimore, who's an amazing guitarist, and all of a sudden, you know, he's there in the front of the stage, and he's saying to himself, wow, they're looking at me. I usually am back here. And then Cedar Walton has said publicly, bless his heart, that he appreciated being an accompanist. Good on tight. He prefers to be in the company of the sideman role rather than be in the front and center. But you love that, don't you? You love it.
Yeah, I mean, I love doing both. But you know, but I think in many ways I'm naturally a leader, I'm excited. I'm excited for myself in that I have a lot of music that I've written, and I have a band that has a real sound, and I'm excited to let other people hear that. And one of the things that that keeps me encouraged is like I said, when I perform with my band, people are just excited. They're surprised, which is great too. You know, they're surprised at how much they were taking with what I'm doing, and that encourages me to keep going, because I know that once my product is presented, that it's going to be received well. I mean, I have no doubt about that. So.
Oh no, you should have no doubt. And along those lines, what is it now that you have worked with first call musicians through the years? You are first call now yourself. What do you look for as far as who you want to have on the road with you?
You know, some of the main things I look for are people with good ears. You know, I mean, literally just being able to have good ears, just being able to hear what's happening, and be able to be flexible and to hear where I'm coming from. You know, to understand you know, a certain degree of the history of the music, but also be forward thinking. That's really important for musicians to have good ears and to be flexible. And another thing that's important that not all musicians have, and there are even some really incredibly great musicians that don't have this, I know myself. I really think as an arranger, you know, even when I'm taking my solo or someone else is taking their solo, I'm thinking of the big picture. I'm thinking of the whole song and the whole show from beginning to end. And I want musicians with me that see the big picture as well, because it's not just about me and my solo or the composition, you know, that we're playing at that particular time. It's about the experience that the audience is getting. It's about the shape of the whole song and the shape of the whole evening. And there are some great musicians that don't really think like that. You know, they're just taking their solo and, you know, playing their butts off, and that's that. You know, and it's just not for me. It's just more than that, because like you say, you know, I'm trying to tell a story, and I'm an emotional person. I need my music to have that sort of emotion and that flow, and we need to all be on the same page. So I definitely need musicians who think as arrangers, not just, you know, soloists.
And you know, the room certainly helps. Blues Alley and Undie are two of the best rooms, because you go to Undie, and it's one of those situations where in Baltimore you've got to navigate the road up North Charles Street and find a parking space, and then make your way across the street to go up these stairs. It's like an old European cafe in some ways.
So
it's just a real intimate setting, and it lends itself for listening, because it's a listening room. You're not going to get the clatter of people who are chomping on anything to eat or clinking glasses, because they don't have that. They've got the little plastic cups if you want wine, and then you take it into the room with you. So that's pretty cool. You know, here's this amazing saxophonist coming to our region. And Wayne, let me tell you something. The buzz in Baltimore is really big about you coming.
Good. Great. I hope so. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, and it's not like one of those situations, because in some towns, people in the city get a little turbed about folks coming from New York into Charm City. It's not like that with you, because people are so curious about you making that transition into a full leadership capacity. You're going to have a sold-out house. For sure.
Good. No, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really, I've been to Baltimore a few times, and, you know, my wife Carolyn has family there. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah, and I've come to the, been to the museum a few times, which is awesome. So,
oh, yeah.
I've never been to Andy Music, but I've heard about it, so I'm really looking forward to bringing my group there and playing for everybody.
That's, oh, I'm excited. And that's going to be on the 26,
yep. Mm-hmm.
26,
and then,
yeah.
And then Blues Alley's on
DC.
27, yeah.
Okay. And I know that time is getting to be of the essence, so I'll ask you about this. You've had some mentors in your life, and it just seems as though people have gravitated to you and have wanted to make sure they extend their hand because they saw something in you that was so rare that they wanted to pull you along into their world. And Tom Harrell was one of them. You've been with Tom for a while now.
Yeah, I've been in the band a little over 8 years, almost 9 years now.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. Every time I say it, I grit my teeth like, oh man, it's I'm really blessed to have been there, and it's like being in a doctorate program or something. I mean, I'm just learning so much. I just learn so much every time I'm on the stage, and when I'm not playing with them, I feel anxiety waiting until the next time, because you know I just know each time I learn so much about music, about myself musically, about him. It's just, I mean, I couldn't be in a more high level musical environment, really.
Well, is this the case where is Tom? He's going to miss you because you're not going to be around as often, and you're making your way into doing your thing, and that's what you're focusing on only, correct? You want to be.
Well, no, I mean, I'm still going to definitely be playing
okay.
with Tom and whoever else, because I need to do the sideband work, and I want to play with these people as much as I can. But you know, there has to be there. Hopefully, we can find a healthy balance between the two things. I mean, unfortunately, Tom's not he's not working year round. Not that he's not working year round, but I mean, you know, he's not keeping me busy. Let's just say 365 days a year. So those
sure.
other days, I definitely want to fill with my group and being able to travel, weeks here and weeks there with my thing. Because I think it's important for my development, and it's important for everybody. The musicians in my band and for me to keep writing more and exploring what I can do.
Well, someone has said, and I didn't make note of who it was that said this, but I'd be kind of astonished if more than one person didn't say this. And from my perspective, since I'm a good 20 years older than you, I would have to agree with this person who said that they consider you to be a jazz hero. And this is... This is why some of us can view you that way. It's because you clearly love jazz. And you, because you won't accept certain things within your music to be ever less than passionate and honest, you're propelling that genre to new heights and bringing it to people, younger people, who ordinarily wouldn't listen. So I have to say thank you.
Well, it's really my pleasure, and thank you, and really, I got to say thanks to all the mentors, Jackie McLean, Ron Carter, Cedar Walton, Tom Harrell, Frank West, all of them. I mean, that's really the legacy that I'm trying to follow and just trying to maintain, so.
Well, you always will, because you've got a heart for it. The big word of the week, it seems, in private conversations with people is hunger. and that expression, stay hungry, my friend,
yeah,
that's you, because you always, you said it earlier, you don't want to write unless you're inspired to write. You're never going to have filler on any musical project you do.
Sure, sure. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Oh, you're so welcome. And of course, you know, we had talked about this a little bit in communication, but I chose Tango to play from Colors of a Dream from Tom Harrell.
Oh, great. Awesome.
Yeah. So you want to talk a little bit about this, and then I'll let you go.
Sure. The you know, the project Colors of a Dream, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an awesome project with it's unique in that it's with two basses. Ugana Kegwo is playing bass, who's been with Tom. He's the longest standing bass player ever with Tom, a musician, probably, I don't know, 18 years or something like that. And with Esperanza Spalding playing bass and also singing. Jaleel Shaw is playing alto, myself, and then Jonathan Blake on drums with Tom Harrell. It was a really unique ensemble. And, you know, when he was saying, you know, he put the ensemble together and our premiere was at the Village Vanguard just before making that recording. And none of us, you know, had heard the music. We were all like thinking like, wow, what is it going to be like? I mean, you know, we had no idea.
Uh-huh.
And then just, you know, a few days before the Vanguard, we started rehearsing and we were all, I don't know if why you want to say the word surprise, because I'm never surprised that Tom writes incredible music, but we were, you know, we never know exactly what, in what way we're going to be pleased. So we were surprised to see in what way we were pleased. And the music is really incredible. And his use of the two basses and the use of Esperanza's voice, you know, he layers her in different ways is really beautiful. And you know, Tom's another one who thinks as an arranger. I mean, he couldn't be the better example of that. And he really, even within each piece, he has an idea of who he wants to solo first, what he wants to come in, where, you know, Esperanza is going to sing. It's really each song is really thoughtful from the beginning to the end. So.
We'll see, and he's another one of these cats, these legends in our midst, who stayed hungry all these years. He
mm-hmm.
he always had a vision for each of the projects that he's done. So, you know, I'm so glad that there's been an osmosis situation with you and Tom.
Yeah, me too.
Really, yeah, I'll bet. Thank you so much, Wayne. I appreciate the time that you took. I'm glad we could work this out today. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, you know, Trish, thanks so much for being so flexible with my schedule. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. Hey, look, we'll be thanking you when we see you in Baltimore and D.C. I'll make sure that I put those events links on my page so that folks can know and we can sell out both venues for you. Is that cool?
Awesome. Great.
All right. Thank you, Wayne.
All right. Take care.
You too. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Wayne Escuffrey. Yes. So nice to be able to have some time with him. So nice to be able to play something. You just heard the personnel lineup in this particular wonderful journey, Colors of a Dream from Tom Harrell and Company. This is Tango on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Dinah Scoffrey backing up Tom Harrell, Tango, Colors of a Dream. We'll see you on Tuesday with Jared on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless. Have a great weekend.